I'm going to call this. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. I'm so happy to see you all. Okay. I am calling this meeting to order and asking the secretary to read the roll.
Okay. Augamir is not here. Bernstein.
Here.
Bernstein is here. Drake.
Here.
Drake is here. Fest. Fest is not here. Futren. Futren is not here. Gans.
Here.
Sasha will be coming later, but yeah. Gans is here. Goldmacher.
Here.
Goldmacher is here. Con Hallinan.
Con
Hallinan, yeah, okay, he may be late. Matthew Hallinan?
Here.
Matthew Hallinan is here. Johnson? Johnson is not here. Coburn?
Here.
Coburn is here. Kurzweil?
Here.
Kurzweil is here. Nor is not here. Pritchett? Pritchett is not here. Privis?
Here.
Privis is here. Rosenberg? Rosenberg is not here. Russell?
Tanya's ill and was asked to be excused.
Okay, Tanya is not here. Sawyer?
Here.
Sawyer is here. Siegel?
Here.
Siegel is here. Sterling?
Frank is working at an apprenticeship program event today. They're having a reunion, and he asked to be excused.
Okay, so Sterling is not here. Aki Tanaka?
Here.
Aki Tanaka is here. Kate Tanaka?
Here.
Kate Tanaka is here. Turner?
She's out of town.
Turner is not here. Wilkinson.
I'm here.
Wilkinson is here. Withers.
His car broke down this morning.
Okay.
Yeah, his car broke down on the way. Just after he left Fresno at about 4 o'clock this morning.
Okay. Withers is in the Great Central Valley and not here. And that's 14. That meets our quorum.
Thank you. I will entertain a motion to excuse Tanya Russell, who is ill, Frank Sterling, who has to be excused to attend an apprenticeship event, Andrea Turner, who is out of town, and Rich Withers, who is having car problems. Okay, is there a second? Okay, are there any objections to excusing these individuals? And then I'd like to correct the record to show that Louis Sawyer should have had an excused absence for our last meeting. He was in Mexico and didn't have access to his cell phone when he realized he hadn't told anybody that he was going to be out of the country and wouldn't be able to be at the meeting. So I would like a motion to excuse Lewis for the September meeting.
Excuse me, do we excuse people for not having cell phones?
Yes, indeed. Are there any objections to that? All right. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
You know what? Where's my agenda? Okay. Let me say that Andrew Phillips is ill today. He's got some kind of a flu, but he did send me a brief report by email, which I will read when we come to that point on the agenda. So now we are ready to approve the agenda. Are there any additions or corrections to the agenda? Dan.
I move that new business be moved up directly after public comment.
Okay. So that would be like 5A. Is that what you're proposing?
Yes.
Okay. And is there any discussion on this motion? Oh, I'm sorry. Was there a second?
Yes.
Okay. Is there any discussion on the motion? So to be clear, what Dan has proposed is that the three items under new business be moved up to immediately after number 5, which is the public comment period. Are there any objections? Seeing none, I will accept that's the order. Pamela.
I make a motion that we cancel
I make a motion that we cancel the November 3rd meeting, the meeting just prior to the national and local elections.
Second.
Wait until after we approve the agenda.
Oh, sorry. Jump the gun.
I think the agenda was approved. I asked if there were any objections, and no one objected. So I said it was approved. All right, are we clear? All right, so Pam has moved that we cancel our November LSB meeting, which occurs on the Saturday before the general election. And there was a second to that motion? Thank you, Lewis. Is there any discussion? Anyone? Donald?
Yeah.
Use a microphone, please.
Is there a reason why we couldn't push it up to the Saturday after the election?
That's not part of her motion, okay? If someone wants to make an amendment or make another motion, that's fine. Is there any further discussion on this motion? All right, it's been moved and seconded that we cancel our November 3rd LSB meeting. And I think, for the record, I'd just like to state that if it turns out that there's an emergency or something that we need to take care of in a hurry, there are provisions in the bylaws that allow us to schedule an emergency meeting, and so we would be able to do that. Are there any objections to the motion to canceling the November 3rd meeting? Seeing none, the chair will accept that the motion has been adopted unanimously and that we can move on. Now.
I would like to move that we limit comment from any person to 3 minutes on any item.
Second? Okay. All right. It's been moved and seconded that we limit speakers to 3 minutes. I think everyone's familiar with the provisions in Robert's Rules of Order, which we've been following, which allows any member of the body to speak up to twice on any item before us. And what Mal is suggesting, as has been suggested in the past, is that we limit those comments to 3 minutes each time the person speaks. Are there any objections to this motion? Does anyone want to speak against it? Does anyone want to vote against it? Seeing no objections, the chair will accept the motion as adopted by the body. Thank you. And so now we are up to approving minutes. I don't know. Go ahead. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes? These are the minutes of the September board meeting. They were sent to you in email a couple of days ago. Okay, any additions or corrections to the minutes? Seeing none, the chair will accept a motion to adopt the minutes as presented. Is there a second?
Second.
All right, thank you. It's been moved and seconded that the minutes be adopted as presented to us by the secretary. Seeing no further discussion, the chair will ask if there is any objections to adopting the minutes as presented. Seeing none, the minutes are adopted. Thank you very much. Okay, we are ready for public comment, but I don't see any public. Does anybody know if any public is coming to speak to us? I know of no.
Anybody want to volunteer?
I know of none. All right. If the chair would just like to suggest that if someone shows up later, that we figure out if we have time to hear them at the time they present themselves.
Depends on who it is.
No fair. No good. Okay. All right.
All right,
I think that will do. All right, so now we're ready for announcements. Any member of the board have any announcements they want to share? Announcements, anybody? Okay, I was going to say this as part of my chair's report, but I will say it now. I have been volunteering in the phone room quite a bit recently. I've been in almost every day for at least a couple of hours. And I know that there are there's a great need for volunteers in the phone room. I have been there when there have been too few people, and every phone has been busy. And I think, you know, it's clear that we lose money if people call and no one answers the phone. So I'd just like to urge everyone who has any time to spend some time in the phone room. The drive, we'll be talking about the drive later. Andrew mentions it in his report, and I think Laura may have an update on where we are financially at this point. But it's the one thing that we have some control over is making sure that there are enough people there to answer the phones. You can always call the phone room and by calling the call-in number and check to make sure you're actually needed. But it's really important that people come. And I urge you all to let your friends know, and that it's a, you know, it's really a critical need. The other thing I would say is that there's no discussion of controversial issues allowed in the phone room. Sometimes I have sort of been pressed by people who want to talk about things, and we've had to go out in the hallway. But I want you to know that that's part of what I think is really good about it. It's an opportunity for people who may have differences of opinion about the station or how the station is doing to work together in a positive way and not engage in any conversation that you know solicits disagreement. So anyway, that's my pitch. Come to the phone room, volunteer, spend some time. It opens at 6:30 in the morning and is open until 10:30 at night. So there's lots of opportunity. There's also always something to eat, and it's really good stuff. Like, we get good things from Semi Freddy's in the morning and delicious dinners in the evening. So please try to fit it into your schedule. Okay, Donald.
Question on that. I totally understand that if my handwriting wasn't illegible, I would actually be there. And I've actually thought about, well, I'll just bring my laptop and write in thing. But I'm wondering why, when we are shorthanded in the phone room, that there's not more emphasis made for people to go to the website and just hook up right there. It's a very simple thing to do, and I think that needs to be, when we're shorthanded, people need to be driven to the website because it's very easy to donate there.
I think most of the time programmers do that, especially if they know that there are not enough people in the phone room, or if they can see that all the lights are lit up. The programmers do a very good job of reminding people about the website. But, you know, there are a lot of people out there who don't want to do the website, don't trust the website, want to talk to a live human being, you know, whatever. Okay. Or don't have access. Exactly right. Okay. All right. Okay, thank you. Any other announcements or comments by board members? All righty. So we are now, and that's, I did my report. That was it. Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped right over. We moved new business up to right now. So on new business, we have, Craig sent out, and I think he passed out this morning, three resolutions, so they are before you. They're all on one page. The top of the page says resolution on unpaid staff record keeping, and it was submitted by David Gans, and I'm going to give David an opportunity to talk about it and to read the resolution and then to motivate it, and then we'll have discussion.
Okay, I'll read it as it's written here.
Yeah, thank you.
The KPFA LSB urges IGM Andrew Phillips to put into place within the next 60 days a system to track the hours of volunteer staff. Reports shall be made by program hosts or supervisors. Reporting must begin with the month of July 2012. Reports will determine the eligibility of unpaid staff to vote in staff elections or recalls. The KPFA LSB requests that the IGM report to the December LSB meeting on the implementation of this motion.
Is there a second? Okay. All right, so the motion has been made and seconded, and the floor is open for discussion. Okay, go ahead, David.
Well, I think the reasons for it are self-evident. There's been controversy about the eligibility for the unpaid staff organization. The unpaid staff organization itself is sort of almost, well, the reports of its demise have been denied by some. Anyway, UPSO is in the middle of an election right now, and there's been controversy over the last few years about who is qualified to be on the unpaid staff, and this seems like a way to get that in hand and quantifiable by asking that hours be accounted for and that participants in programs be able to document the time that they spend working on the program. It's as simple as that.
Jan, Kate.
I just have a
question. Use the mic, please.
I'm sorry, is there a switch on the mic, Kate? You're on the air.
It's going.
I know, but
well,
it's
no, being recorded. We're trying to record it, and so that's where the.
It's on it.
It's not.
Oh, the yellow cord stops in the middle of the floor. It wasn't your fault, Kate.
It's nobody's fault.
Do we have technicians in the house?
Try it again, Kate.
No.
What the hell?
Yeah.
What's
this connection? Yeah, you got one in doubt, use plan B.
Okay, now? Okay, this is totally much ado about nothing, but my question is just simply about the retroactive, you know, back to July. It sort of gives me a shudder thinking if somebody asked me for records of something that I hadn't known I was keeping records for, you know, back to July. That's all.
The reason for that is because of the, may I speak? I'm
sorry. No, not the reason, just how
oh, yeah. At least we're not asking her to go back a year. I don't know. We'd like to have some clear documentation for the next UPSO election term, which is why we're asking to go back to July 1st. It's working now. Oh. Well, now the other one's dead? Okay. Well, that's why.
Go ahead. Keep going, David.
I think I said what I meant to say.
Okay. All right, Anthony.
Now that one doesn't. What the hell? All right, give him the other microphone. I don't know what to do.
Go ahead, Anthony.
So the word a system that certainly gives the manager some latitude and discretion, but I'm wondering that's almost anything could be a system. Is this meant to be some kind of software such as has been mentioned before, or a paper system, or what? I'd like a little more clarity.
I think it should be fairly easy to implement, and I don't think it requires any investment of software or anything like that. Some way of communicating between the management and the producers of the programs. It can just be done by email, I would think.
Mal.
If I get a microphone.
Oh.
I'll take two. It seems to me that if any part of the staff is going to vote on members of this body, there ought to be some kind of a system. The rest of us are elected by the listeners, and there's no doubt about who we are, but I have not been comfortable with the method, if there is one, of selecting people who are eligible to vote for the staff, and so I strongly support this motion.
Just before I call on the next speaker, let me say that for the record, we should note that Anthony Fest, Tracy Rosenberg, Sasha Futron, and did somebody else come in? And Con Hallinan have arrived since we took roll. Okay, Tracy.
Documentation is one thing, and emails are quite another thing. And I'm not quite clear why we're making some distinction that people sending emails is some kind of documentation of something. If I understand correctly, the way that it's been done for the past 8 years is that if there's a question, somebody sends an email to the producer of the program and they send an email back. So that's not a change in the current system. What documentation is something that's done in real time and something that is more than this person says this and that person says that. So to me, this motion, A, it's enforcing the status quo and not asking for something better. And B, its retroactivity makes it kind of pointless because if I were an unpaid staff member, I would go to my supervisor and say, I think I booked 15 hours working on this segment. What do you say? And that person would say, yeah, that sounds about right. And then they'd send an email. And that's what we're doing now. That's the honor system. So to me, the intent of the motion is one thing, and the wording is quite another. And the wording doesn't change the status quo. So I'm going to think a bit about what a substitute might look like, because I think there needs to be a substitute. But I don't have the wording quite yet.
Con.
I mean, this is what managers do. I don't understand why there's even any discussion around this. This is what managers are supposed to do. Managers are supposed to see whether people are working, and that there's a criteria and a basis for doing that. And it seems to me that we give this to Andrew, and Andrew comes back with a proposal or whatever. I mean, that's what we're supposed to do. Otherwise, it's just anarchy. I mean, this isn't the way you run anything, let alone a radio station. I don't know why there's any controversy on this. I really don't.
Janet.
Don't diss anarchy.
Okay, so my question has to do with the date, July 2012. Where did that date come from? Why that date? Why not going forward instead? Why not going back to October 2011 or whatever?
Because the next unpaid staff organization term will begin in July of next year, so it's to have a year of documentation of the work done by qualified UPSO members so they can vote in the next UPSO election.
Anthony, are you asking for the floor?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
When this tardy UPSO Council election is completed, and if people serve out those terms, that would carry them through, I guess, approximately November 1st of next year. So, not that I'm not aghast at the mention of a month that's not far behind us, but I think as far as the terms of the next UPSO Council, that they would run through October of 2013, since they'll be 1 year terms.
I'm sorry. May I see the hands of people who want to speak? I think I've been skipping over people. All right. So I'll recognize Laura and then Sasha.
Yeah, I just wanted to say the motion just talks about putting a system in place. Doesn't talk about what that system is. So I think we should just stick to that as part of this discussion.
Sasha, and Sasha needs a microphone.
Yes, hi. I wanted to say that, first of all, I think this is for more than just the UPSO election. It's for the LSB election. And the date of record for the next election is July 1 through of, 20, you know, of 2012 through June 30th of 2013. So this would be to establish so that we don't go through the same thing again with verifying a list. In terms of people having a problem going back to the beginning of July and verifying or for any other time, it seems to me that the producer, you know, has to do more than somebody saying, hey, Joe, I've done 15 hours, what do you say? That the producer will be held responsible for the numbers of hours. So if you have, you know, 1 hour programming being produced and it took 60 hours worth of unpaid staff time, that is absolutely ridiculous. And so the producer can be challenged as to what particular people did. I would like to make an amendment. I know there's no such thing as a friendly amendment technically, but I hope you will consider it that. I'd actually like to make this a 30 days to have the GM, IGM come back here and produce a system rather than 60 days because it does go back so far. I don't want it to go back yet another 30 days.
And but we canceled the November meeting, so...
That doesn't mean that he can't have a system in place and send us a copy of it. And, you know, I mean, we're asking him to put a system in place. It doesn't need us meeting again for him to do that. And the other, so that's what I would change it. I would change it to 30 days. But, and the other thing I would like to add to this, that the system include contact information for every single member of unpaid staff, that such a record is kept with their address and their phone numbers and an email address, because among other things, it seems to me that you don't have a bunch of people with a code to go into the building at 2 a.m. when no one else is there, and you don't know how to reach them. So having nothing to do with elections, it's just responsible for contact, full contact information to be kept for everybody who works at that station.
How does this work? I totally agree. How do we
okay,
do that? Madam Chair?
I'm sorry.
How do we implement? I agree with her changes. So how do we vote on an amendment into the?
No, you can incorporate them into your
okay,
motion.
Okay, I move we incorporate Sasha's suggestions into our motion.
So you're
so that would then be 60 days.
Okay.
Why?
It's got to be an amendment. It's fine. Let's vote on it. It doesn't matter.
Okay, so okay. My amendment would be to replace the 60 with 30 days.
Okay.
And a volunteer staff period, that first sentence. That system will also include the names, addresses, phone numbers, and email addresses for each unpaid staff member.
Okay.
Period. And then it continues on.
Include names, address, and email?
Phone number and phone and email. For each staff member, whether paid or unpaid.
I'm sorry. Did you include addresses or just email addresses?
Yes. Addresses,
got it.
Name, address, phone numbers,
okay.
And email address.
Got it. Okay.
All contact information, including name, address, phone number, email address.
Got it. Okay. All right. So now we'll discuss Sasha's amendments. I think they should be taken separately. The First Amendment is to change 60 days to 30 days. Is there any discussion on that change? And I would assume that based on the fact that we canceled the November meeting, that we would ask Andrew to report to us by email. Does that seem reasonable? Okay. All right. Okay, so is there any discussion about the change from 30 to 60 days? Hi. Okay. Seeing none, I think... Oh, whoa. Are you okay? We're ready to come to a vote. Is there any opposition to this change, 30 to 60 days? Does anyone want to vote no?
Pick up the microphone, please.
The amendments are on the floor, which is fine, but the floor is also open for... So substitutes and additional amendments, and I'd like to make one. I can do it after the amendments are done.
Good.
But generally, the idea is to take them all and then go to a vote.
Well, we have two amendments on the floor, and
okay.
I'll ask if there are any additional amendments after we voted
okay.
on those two.
Sounds
okay.
Good.
All right. So I see no objection to changing 60 days to 30 days, so that will be the order. The second amendment adds a sentence after volunteer staff, which reads, I think, the system would include the names, addresses, phone numbers, and email addresses for all unpaid staff. Is that correct, Sasha?
I have the
Here, give her a mic. Give Sasha a mic.
The system will include full contact information to be kept for each unpaid staff member, including name, address, phone numbers, and email address.
Okay. And will you write that out and give it to the secretary, please? Thank you. You can put it on one of those little half sheets. Okay. So everyone is clear about what Sasha's second amendment is? Is there any discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, I guess we're ready to come to a vote. Is there anyone opposed to this amendment? Seeing none, so ordered. So the resolution has thus far been amended to change 60 days to 30 days and add the system that add the sentence that Sasha read about contact information. Are there any other amendments to the resolution? Tracy.
Yeah, there's a substitute. I think that the motion would be more useful if it asked the GM to do something in particular, at least something apart from sending a lot of emails with no system to record them, store them, keep them accurate, make them accessible, etc. We all get a lot of email, and my expectation is adding 80 emails to the GM's email load will result in a whole bunch of lost information. So, the substitute motion is as follows. The KPFA LSB urges IGM Andrew Phillips to put into place within the next 60 days the unpaid staff hours tracking database software that's already been developed to track the hours of volunteer staff. Reporting must begin within 60 days. Reports will determine the eligibility of unpaid staff to vote in unpaid staff organization elections and LSB elections. The KPFA LSB requests that the IGM report to the December LSB meeting on the implementation of the motion. And I'm happy to leave in the language about staff contact information, but obviously if you are implementing a database, then you will have that as part of the database.
Okay, is there a second to Tracy's substitute motion? Okay, so now we're ready to discuss the substitute motion. Anyone want to speak to the substitute motion? Laura.
I think this just sounds like a whole nother motion. You know, and like the next motion after this first motion, David's motion on the table happens, because this is more about the system than about that. Just that this needs something needs to be put in place to track everyone. So, I see them as two separate, and I'd like to pass the first one first.
I could look up in Robert's Rules of Order, but I think a substitute motion, which wholly replaces the motion on the floor, is an okay way to go, and that you vote on that before you vote on the motion that was originally presented. Any other discussion on the substitute motion? Donald?
I call a question.
Well, second. We don't need to do that if no one wants to talk.
can you wait until I finish writing out the motion for the record?
Sure. Finish writing out the motion and bring it to the secretary.
Thanks.
You can all practice deep breathing now. It'll be good for you. I just turned 69, and I heard somebody on the air on KPFA saying that around the age of 70, people lose about 25% of their lung capacity if they don't engage in daily deep breathing. So,
I'm a living example.
Okay, so do your deep breathing. I'm not kidding. Okay. All right. Will the secretary read the motion, please?
The secretary can't because I'm still.
Oh, that's Sasha's. Oh, I'm sorry. Anthony.
Nothing against deep breathing, but as to this software, I'm not familiar with it. I'm just wondering if it's, you know, got a standard open source thing that's sitting out there and then other radio stations use it, or if there'll be some kind of startup costs, either in money or time.
It's my understanding that Otis McClay, who is one of the Pacifica IT people, has developed...
No?
Not correct. Okay. I'll tell you what my understanding is. Well, I think I had a conversation with Otis about it, myself personally.
Maybe Tracy could make it specific what software she's talking about.
David, wait a second. That there is a software program out there that Otis has developed in that, but I don't believe it's being used by any of the stations. But it does exist, and I don't think it would cost us any money. Thank you. All right, Sasha, give Sasha a microphone, please.
If I might say, my motion does not call for how the IGM is going to do this. It just calls for him to do it, and he can look around and find an inexpensive solution that will work. I think that the IGM knows more about the difficulties and how the staff functions than the rest of us. You know, in terms of putting something in place, and I'm leaving it up to him to come and suggest.
Okay, so on the speakers list, I have Donald, Andrea, and then Tracy. Oh, and Mal wants to speak too, so go ahead, Donald, and then Andrea.
Yes, and either of these motions are the maker of the motions. David, this is for you as well. Are you requiring that the specific program supervisors or managers sign off on what are purportedly the hours being put in so that they are held to account for that?
You're asking me this question?
Both of you.
Yeah, I think that there needs to be accountability in the system so that it's clear who's working what hours on all these programs and who is qualified to vote in these elections. As it is now, it's the vague say-so of various people, and it's done retroactively by making phone, you know, hey, who's working on the show and all that. I would like to see an ongoing accountability for the hours being worked. And once the system is in place, it shouldn't be too onerous to make it happen.
Okay, Andrea. Yeah, pass the mic down.
I support accountability. I think it's a good idea, and I'm just curious, some kind of system I think makes all the sense in the world. I'm just wondering if I've heard that there were issues about people having access to getting into the building and such. And I'm just curious if anybody's investigated, isn't there some kind of the issuance of an ID card, and which would provide access to the studio, but would also track, in terms of security and accountability, it seems like feeding two birds with one bagel.
I think A, that's an entirely separate issue, and B, program producers don't necessarily work at the station. I do all my prep work at home.
Okay.
Then doesn't it become a matter of you of an honor? It defaults back to the honor system, yeah. Because if you're saying that you want a system, but you don't want people to be recreating their hours, if people are doing that production
Hold on. I'm the chair. People have to ask to be recognized before they speak. Okay. Are you finished, Andrea?
Well, it sounds like maybe I haven't made myself clear. What I'm saying is, I'm just curious if anybody has investigated the possibility of, instead of putting in a bunch of different systems to meet different needs, is there a possibility of, I thought what I was hearing was was that you wanted to track how many in studio, in on the, at the radio station hours. Then now I'm confused because I'm not sure what the accountability, who's actually accountable to, if there's some shows that are produced exclusively by unpaid staff, I'd like some clarification. I just don't know who's in charge of signing the, off on their off-site hours.
What David's motion says is the reports shall be made by program hosts or supervisors. Those are the people who are responsible.
There are unpaid supervisors?
I have no idea. Someone must be in charge of the program. Okay.
Is that what he's talking about?
I don't know. He's distracted. No,
what
he's
is the supervisor? I guess I'm asking, what is the supervisor?
I don't know. What's the supervisor?
This, ask Anthony. It's all the...
No.
The same people that are now accounting for who produces what programs should be considered a supervisor.
Okay.
Producers, well, department heads. Let's defer to Anthony, who's been working very hard on assembling the unpaid staff organization structure.
Okay, Anthony, you may speak, and then
let's
I'll...
see. Yeah, in most contexts, I think supervisor is a department head, but not every department has a department head. So, if you're in a department that doesn't have a department head, then you've got to look to someone else, such as the lead producer of the show or the host.
Thank you. I want the record to show that Cynthia Johnson has joined us. And on the speakers list are Laura Privis and Sasha Futron. Oh, yes, Andrea Pritchett also joined us. Thank you. Mal Bernstein and Tracy Rosenberg want to be on the speakers list. Okay, go ahead, Laura.
Well, ultimately,
here, give her this one.
I'm sorry. I have a point of information. Or can the substitute proposal be reread? Isn't that what we're just talking about?
Sure.
The program hosts and supervisors are also supposed to report to management, right? I mean, there should, if there's a PD in place, that's the person who should be finally accountable, or. Like right now, there's an interim assistant general manager. So somebody in management should be held accountable at some point. That's Veronica's position. Whatever. But, you know, you need to have someone in management actually confirm these reports.
Okay. Laura, would you try that green mic again?
Okay, yeah.
It's on?
No, it doesn't...
You're going to read them. I'm going to ask the secretary. Okay, I'm asking the secretary to read the substitute motion.
The KPFA LSB urges IGM Andrew Phillips to implement the staff registry database software to track the hours of volunteer staff. Reporting must begin within 60 days of the date of passage of this motion. The KPFA LSB requests the IGM report to the December LSB meeting on the implementation of the staff registry database tracking system.
Okay, so everybody's clear on the motion. I have...
Point of order.
Hold, yes?
That wasn't the complete motion. She added the language about keeping track of the names, addresses, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. Is that yeah, you said that the system would include contact information.
It does. It's an existing database software, and it does.
Well,
if you want to add the language from the motion, I'm happy to do that, but it's redundant. It's a database. It requires that information. And
well,
it requires
we don't
information.
We don't actually know what's in the database, do we? Okay, so I'm just asking because you said it aloud previously that we add the sentence that, okay, thank you very much. Okay, so I have four people who want to speak, all of whom are speaking for the second time on this issue, so this will be your last chance to express yourself. Are there any first-time speakers who would like to?
I'm first-time on the substitute.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Okay, Mal, go ahead. You're first-time on the substitute.
See if that microphone.
I have 2 points. The first is that I have no idea about the software, and I don't know whether anyone else does, and I'm not about to vote for something that I don't know what it is. The second point is that this is true micromanaging. The original motion had the request of the general manager to do certain things. This is telling him how to do it. I don't think that's our job.
Okay. Thank you. Now we have Laura, Sasha, and Tracy, and those are both second-time speakers. No? Laura says she isn't either. Go ahead. No, it's Laura. Oh, you already spoke. You're done. Sasha. I'm sorry.
So I have a comment, and then I have a question for Tracy as well. I'll make my comment first. So I want everybody to know that this has already been something that has been reported by the National Election Supervisor to the Elections Committee, and that he is finding it very distressful that all of the stations have no accountability for their unpaid staff lists in terms of the election, and that it is a huge problem, and it has been a huge problem for years. And it is something that people fight over. It's bad for morale at the station. It's just been a terrific issue. I should let you know also that I will be having 3 resolutions on the national level regarding this through the Elections Committee. And one of them also includes how much time, and this is in honor of Tracy Rosenberg, actually, and Les Radke, who instituted this in the 2006 election when Tracy was the local election supervisor, which was, I believe, 6, where she put a time frame on how many hours it would take a staff members to produce an hour's worth of programming, one figure for public affairs and another one for music, and a third one for news. But I think I'm going to perhaps leave the news a little hazy, because I think if you send reporters out in the field, it takes a heck of a lot more time, and I wouldn't want to discourage that from happening. But that deal with the amount of time, and that would mean that if you've got a show that when at the end of the day you add up the hours and it took 60 people hours to produce 1 hour's worth of programming, you've got something really wrong going on here and some padding going on, and it's absurd. So that you don't have people listed as staff who no one has seen in 2 years and they can't find a phone number and address for, and they have no way of contacting them because, in fact, they don't exist as an unpaid staff member any longer. So that would also put a time frame, and this would be applicable not just to us, but around the system. And also that it would ask every system, every station, to put into place an accounting system such as this, with the GMs presenting that to the PNB. And my hope is that then the most efficient, you know, people will come up with different ways of doing this perhaps, and that they can settle on a national system eventually that everyone will do that will be, you know, the most efficient. But in the meantime, since we don't know if it's going to pass the election committee, nor do we know if the PNB is going to pass this, I think we need to take care of our problem right here. Then the question I wanted to ask Tracy was, there was discussion, I forget the name of the database you suggested to be used, but you said you knew what was in that database in terms of staff information. How do you know that? How have you seen that database?
Use the microphone,
okay.
Please.
Hold on.
I've seen our information in
hold
that
on,
database.
Hold on, Sasha. I forgot to ask if, thank you. That's what I wanted to know. Okay. I'm calling on Tracy now. Pass her the microphone, please. Or a microphone.
Yeah, the database was developed some 2.5 to 3 years ago down at KPFK. It's never been implemented. There have been some attempts to implement it on the national level. There's been a tremendous amount of kickback, not from KPFA, mostly from the unpaid staff in New York and Los Angeles. If you want to know what the sort of kickback was, it was basically that the system was a police state scenario that undocumented immigrants and others would be uncomfortable using it, and that the digital divide meant that we could not impose any computer requirements on any of our staff. They might not be able to use it, and that basically this was a fascist Nazi kind of thing. Just so you know. So that is the feedback that would also greet your proposal. So it goes. So the database has not been implemented in terms of its characteristics. No data has been entered into it, so there's no data to see. But it does require contact information. It does require a sign-off by a supervisor or a producer. So all of the things that we're trying to have occur would be facilitated by the database. My statement would be that's going to be facilitated a heck of a lot better and in a more professional manner by a database than it's ever going to be by 80 different producers sending emails once a month or once a quarter to the GM, who is then going to have to create a gigantic email folder with hundreds and hundreds of these things accessible to no one but them, which is going to cause basically a whole bunch of confusion, too much email, and doesn't really serve to document much of anything. What else? I think that it makes sense to talk with the IGM about this motion prior to passing it, if possible. That may be. I haven't, and I would like to hear what the IGM says in response about implementation. Well, I haven't heard it, so to me it's non-information. Every KPF AGM over the past 10 years has been implored to do something like this. None have. This staff registry database has been sitting around for 3 years. My guess would be, I would be surprised if anything effective is implemented in 60 days, given the amount of time things have taken. But, it's good to suggest. In terms of the overall system with the hours from 2006, the reason that came about was because there was no system, and it was frustrating, and it was an attempt to have some criteria that would trigger some questioning, as Sasha said. The ratios were 4-1 for music, 6-1 for PA, and I believe 12-1 for news, which was high. And what we found out by implementing it in 2006 was that there were almost no problems and that almost everyone's reported hours fell into those criteria. So it was a tremendous amount of effort in response for really not a lot of problems. Whatever problems there are were not really identified by that system. So I think
I think a
registry database would be more effective.
Okay, I just want to say that normally when time is called, the individual speaking is expected to finish his or her sentence and stop talking. That's how it usually works. I apologize to the board because I forgot when I screwed up the agenda and went ahead with the chair's report before I was supposed to. I failed to report to you that Sasha and I met with Andrew at the beginning of the week and told him that this motion was coming up here today because we wanted to give him a heads up and we didn't want him to feel like he was being blindsided. He's not here to speak for himself, but I think it is fair to say, and I'm sure he would confirm, that he was very pleased by the idea that we were making this motion, that he is very concerned about doing something like this and felt that that urging from the LSB would be supportive for him and helpful. I also mentioned to him the database, which Tracy talked about, which I learned about from talking to Otis McClay, and he immediately wrote down that he was going to get in touch with Otis and talk to him about the database and check it out because that sounded like a good way to go. So I don't think there are any problems on Andrew's end with this, and I'm sure Andrew would confirm that if he were here to speak to you, but he's ill. So I just want to have that information out there before we come to a vote. Are there any other speakers on the substitute motion? Does everyone understand the substitute motion? Does anyone need it read again? Okay, Janet says she'd like to have it read again, so I'll ask Craig to read it.
Okay. In my understanding, Tracy, just confirm this, that it incorporates Sasha's amendment about the name, address, phone number. Okay, so I'll add that at the end. Okay, so here's the full motion, the full substitute motion. The KPFA LSB urges IGM Andrew Phillips to implement the staff registry database software to track the hours of volunteer staff. Reporting must begin within 60 days of the date of passage of this motion. The KPFA LSB requests the IGM report to the December LSB meeting on the implementation of the staff registry database tracking system. The system will include full contact information for each unpaid staff member, including name, address, phone numbers, and email address.
All right, you've heard the motion. Let's see. Are there? I think we should take a vote on this. Roll call for the question. All right, I will ask the secretary to do a roll call vote. Okay. So you're voting yes for Tracy's motion, which will substitute for the main motion. If Tracy's motion fails, we will have an opportunity to vote on the original motion. Okay? Everybody understand that? If her motion passes, the original motion dies. Thank you.
Okay, so this is the full substitute motion, and let's go down the list. Agamir is not here. Bernstein?
No.
Bernstein, no. Drake?
No.
Oops, let me mark you in the no column. That would be helpful. Bernstein is no. Drake is no. Fest?
No.
Fest is no. Futren?
Yes, I'm a no.
I use a pencil these days. I just want you to know. So Futren is no, is that correct? Okay, so Futren is no. Gans?
No.
Gans is no. Goldmacher?
No.
Goldmacher is no. Con Hallinan?
No.
Con Hallinan is no. Matthew Hallinan?
No.
Matthew Hallinan is no. Johnson?
Yes.
Johnson is yes. Coburn?
Yes.
Coburn is yes. Kurzweil?
No.
Kurzweil is no. Nor is not here. Pritchett? Pritchett is yes. Privis?
No.
Privis is no. Rosenberg?
Yes.
Rosenberg is yes. Russell is not here. Sawyer?
No.
Sawyer is no. Siegel?
No.
Siegel is no. Sterling is not here. Aki Tanaka?
Yes.
Aki Tanaka is yes. Kate Tanaka?
Yes.
Kate Tanaka is yes. Turner is not here. Wilkinson? Wilkinson is not voting, and Withers is not here. So that is 12 yes, 6 no, and it, excuse me, 6 yes, 12 no. It fails.
Okay. Thank you. So now we're coming to a vote on David's original motion, which was amended by the two motions made by Sasha. Stop talking. If you're going to have a conversation, go out in the hall. And so that I will ask the secretary to read the motion as amended. You ready? Okay.
Okay, so this is the original motion as amended. The KPFA LSB urges IGM Andrew Phillips to put in place within the next 30 days a system to track the hours of volunteer staff. The system will include full contact information for each unpaid staff member, including name, address, phone numbers, and email address. Reports shall be made by program hosts or supervisors. Reporting must begin within the month of July 2012. Reports will determine the eligibility of unpaid staff to vote in staff elections or recalls. The KPFA LSB requests that the IGM report to the December LSB meeting on the implementation of this motion.